If I refuse to forgive someone who has sinned against me because she has not apologized, then I am retaining sin in myself.
Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's a verse from Deuteronomy 33:27, and the voice you're listening to is the voice of your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. We've been talking about the grace of forgiveness. Back in the late 70s, I was given a book by a young woman named Laurel Lee. The book was called Walking Through Fire, and she told in that book and in a later book of God's mercy and grace and sustaining power through a horrifying experience with cancer and losing her husband. She didn't lose him by death, and I'm convinced, having lost two husbands by death, that to lose them in other ways is far more bitter and hurtful. In the case of Laurel Lee, she had given birth to a baby whom the doctors had told her she should abort because she had cancer and they had to do radiation therapy. And they said the radiation will very likely either kill or deform your child. But Laurel Lee, being a Christian, had refused the abortion, and she gave birth to a perfectly normal little girl. And, of course, was very grateful to God, and I think had been home only about 4 or 5 weeks when the doctor told her that she needed new treatments and she had to go back into the hospital for her cancer. And while she did so, there was a babysitter staying in the home and taking care of the children. Her husband went off with the babysitter, abandoning the children. Well, Laurel Lee tells the story of how about a year later, I think she said, her husband called and said that he wanted to see the children, not the baby. He had no interest in the new baby. He'd hardly seen anything of that one. But the other children he wanted to see, and so he was going to come by, and he wanted Laurel to put the children out on the sidewalk by themselves, ready to get into the car. Well, she didn't put them out on the sidewalk by themselves. She went out with them, with her baby in her arms. Her ex-husband drove up with his girlfriend, his pregnant girlfriend, in the front seat of the car, paid no attention to her or to the new baby, and took the two children in the car and drove off. She said, I went back into my house and I sat down in a rocking chair, and my heart felt as if it had been put through a grater. It was in tiny little pieces. What was she to do? Was that an unforgivable sin that her husband had committed against her? Humanly speaking, yes. I cannot imagine being able to forgive a man for a dastardly deed like that. Laurel Lee said, I knew that there was only one thing I could do, and it was the one thing I must do, which was to forgive him. That was her deliverance. That was her liberation from a life of bitterness and probably much worse emotions. There is no more deadly emotion for you and me to carry around, cherishing in our bosoms, than bitterness and resentment. The consequence of refusal to forgive is blindness. Did you know that? The consequence of the refusal to forgive is blindness. Now, I got that out of Hebrews 12, verses 14 to 17. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. It was his refusal to forgive his brother that made it impossible for him to bring about a change of mind. And I think that is exactly what happens when we deliberately refuse to forgive, when we deliberately disobey God in this manner. We are bringing upon ourselves spiritual blindness. In 1 John 2:11, he says, "But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him." George MacDonald wrote, "It is a small thing to a man whether or not his neighbor be merciful to him. It is life and death to him whether he be merciful to his neighbor." I'll read that again. "It's a small thing to a man whether or not his neighbor be merciful to him, but it is life or death to him whether or not he be merciful to his neighbor." In other words, it doesn't really matter what people do to us, but it does matter enormously what we do to them. And it does matter how we respond in God's presence, in God's sight. To refuse to forgive because there has been no apology is to retain sin in myself. Do you see that? If I refuse to forgive someone who has sinned against me because she has not apologized, then I am retaining sin in myself because God has told me to forgive her, and I have refused. I have refused what God commands me to do, and therefore I am retaining sin in myself. So how can God forgive me of a sin which I insist on retaining? Am I ringing any bells out there? Is there someone thinking, uh-oh, now she's really gone to meddling in my business? Well, I don't know who you are, do I? I haven't the slightest idea who's listening to this radio program. But God does know, and it just could be that God is talking to you about retaining your bitterness, cherishing in your bosom the feelings of hatred and anger that have been aroused ever since that person did that unforgivable thing. Remember what Jesus said after he taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He said, "If you do not forgive your brother his trespasses against you, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you." Now, God is merciful. He requires of you and me what we cannot possibly do by ourselves. And it is impossible alone and in the natural man to forgive the unforgivable. But God stands waiting to give us mercy and grace to forgive. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." George MacDonald said, "Mercy can't get in where mercy doesn't go out." In other words, God can't be merciful to me so long as I stubbornly refuse mercy to him who has wronged me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Are you merciful? Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me." However we treat another person is the way we are treating Christ. If we are kind to them, if we visit them in prison, if we give them food when they're hungry and clothes when they're naked, as the context of that passage tells us, we are clothing Jesus Christ himself. We are visiting Jesus Christ in prison. We are feeding Jesus Christ. But if we refuse, then our treatment of that person, who we think may be a very bad person, is nevertheless our treatment of Jesus Christ. God will never be unfair to any of his children. God may be angry with us, yes, with a pure and righteous anger. That is the divine response to evil. How could God be God and not be angry at evil? He does, however, remember that you and I are dust. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows the impossibility of our giving grace unless he gives us grace. But we must still choose righteousness. We must choose obedience. We must choose to forgive. Remember, forgiveness is not a matter of the feelings, but of the will. It is a willed action. You may perhaps have heard the story of Corrie ten Boom. She told it probably thousands of times, how when she was speaking one time in Germany, she saw, coming down the aisle with outstretched hands, one of the guards who had been responsible for the death of Corrie's sister Betsy in a concentration camp. And Corrie's response to God immediately was, "Lord, how can I shake the hand of the man who killed my sister?" But she knew that God was speaking to her in those split seconds and saying, "You must forgive him." And she said, "I sent up an SOS, oh Lord, help me." And she said, "My hand shot out." And in that split second, God enabled me to do the thing that I could not do. She did the one thing she could do, which was to stretch out her hand physically. And God then gave her the grace to forgive that man. Forgiveness comes out of the recognition of the forgiveness that God has given to us. I realize that God has forgiven me thousands upon thousands of sins. Can I refuse to forgive the one sin that hurts me? We must sacrifice our desire for vindication. We must be willing not to have the apology. Although, of course, if a person comes with an apology, we must forgive them at once. But I do believe that we are meant to forgive even if the apology never comes. Offer your bad feelings to God. Offer him your heart. Remember how much he has forgiven you.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.